Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 56 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, and then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Friends, I'm telling you, this is going to be an unusual year, I believe. My stars, we've got so many things in the fire, and I know that if God gives me the strength, gives us the courage and everything else, we'll do them. But prayerfully, we're hoping that we can get out to Oregon next month to start our movie. Do pray that that'll be a soul-winning movie. It won't be about a man, not about Cecil Moe, but about what Jesus Christ is doing today in the lives of Christians. We have a job to do, each and every one of us, and every job that you are given is important. If it's nothing more than mowing the lawn at the church, there's no little jobs when you serve the Lord. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, here's our thought for the day. Two marks of a Christian: giving and forgiving. We've labeled this resurrection before cometh before dawn. Well, I read in John 20, 1 and 2, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. The crucifixion had brought earth's darkest day. Even the light of the sun had been hidden from view. Oh, friends, imagine the dark despair that swept in on the followers of Christ. Now, they said when they crucified Jesus, took him off the cross, put him in that borrowed tomb, they rolled this humongous stone in front of it, and they placed guards there, and they said, Don't worry, we will never, ever hear from this guy again. Oh, aren't they in for a great surprise? These disciples and them were brokenhearted. Well, maybe they had forgotten or doubted his promise to rise from the dead. Well, the troubled women make their ways to the tomb. Now, they're coming with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Well, Mary Magdalene runs ahead of the others and arrives at the tomb before dawn. Now listen, there are lessons are drawn from Mary's early arrival at the empty tomb. We ought to come to Jesus early. What does it say? The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. When we're lost, we're in darkness. Oh, friends, if you're lost tonight, I beg of you, come to Jesus while there's still an opportunity. You see, once you die, there's no hope. There's no hope after you die. There's no second chance. I know that there's some organizations say that there is, but there isn't. Well, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. Why did Mary... excuse me, I have to take a drink here. Why did Mary arrive early? Well, her broken heart required immediate attention. She wanted to get to Jesus as soon as possible. There's no good reason for delay coming to the Lord for salvation. You know why? It says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation, and have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I don't mean tomorrow, because boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you don't know what tomorrow brings. Tomorrow you might be in a car wreck. You might be killed in a plane crash. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Of course, we know who holds it tomorrow, but we don't ourselves know. Well, the longer we wait, the less likely we are to come to him. And I read in Hebrews 3:13, "Behold, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So it's imperative when you hear the voice of God or when the conviction of the Lord comes upon you, it's imperative to move now. Now the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man whereby man must be saved. Now he may call on you today. In fact, he may call on you tonight and you say, "No, Lord, I'll do it tomorrow." Well, it could be the last time that God will ever call upon you. You have no guarantee he's going to call again. Well, every effort should be made to reach people early in life. And I read in Matthew 19:14, "But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." So reach them while they're young. You know, I've had people say, "Well, when is the day of accountability?" Man, I don't know. I really don't know. But I can tell you this much. The day of accountability is when you have reached a place where God can reach you. When you realize that you are a lost sinner and that you realize you've got to do something about it. Because you cannot, I repeat, you cannot save yourself. Don't care how good you are, can't do it. Well, we should come to Jesus early to give him our burdens. In 1 Peter 5:7, this is one of my favorites. "Casting all your care upon him, for he..." Oh my, "he careth for you." Did you know that? He really loves you tonight. I can't overemphasize that he really, really loves you. Rich devotional lives are developed by seeking Jesus early in the day. And it tells us in Psalms 63:1, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." We ought to come to Jesus while still dark. Listen to what it said in the first verse. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." Well, it was dark, sure enough. And Mary Magdalene knew a lot about darkness. Why? She had once been dominated by the power of darkness. She had been possessed, how many? By seven demons. Mark 16:19-9. Now, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Well, friends, listen to me. You remember the man out on the island of Gadara? Well, he was full of demons. They couldn't even they chained him up and they couldn't hold him. He's on the cemetery, walking around like a crazy man. So Jesus and his disciples went over there to see him. And man, I'll tell you, Jesus cast out those demons out of him. The next scene we see, Jesus and his disciples going back to the boat to get out of there to leave the island. And Jesus turned around and looked, and what did he see? This demoniac paddywhacking around behind him. And he said, "Son, where are you going?" "Oh, Lord, I want to follow you." I didn't understand why he wanted to follow Jesus. I know the day I was saved, I would have done anything Jesus asked me to do, because he'd cast that demons of booze out of my soul and delivered me and gave me a new life. And I've been trying to serve the Lord ever since for 56 years. I even get my days mixed up. But oh, friends, listen. This young man wanted to come and follow Jesus. But you know what Jesus told him? He said, "I want you to go back. I want you to go back to your family and loved ones and tell them what I have done for you." Beloved, that's the first thing that you and I should do once we give our hearts to Christ, is to go tell our loved ones and friends that Jesus saved us. Don't preach at them. Don't throw the things at them, because they know the life you live, and it's pretty hard to see. You know, the Bible said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come as new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's what he tells us. And we are new. Everything in us is new. In fact, the manner, beloved, he even takes a heart of stone out and gives us a heart of flesh. My stars in the morning. That's what he does for us. Well, Jesus had introduced Mary to the light, and he had cast out seven devils out of her, delivering her from their power. Well, Mary had learned that Jesus is the light of the world. And I read in John 8:12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Oh, friends, when you meet Jesus, you meet the light of life. He gives us life. He gives us a reason. He gives us a purpose to want to live. Well, the gospel turns us from darkness to light in Acts 26:28. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Old Agrippa had Paul on trial. And Paul got up there and he shared his testimony. And old Agrippa, I'm sure, just sat there shaking like a leaf, because he knew what Paul was saying was true. Now here, this Paul, at one time was named Saul, was out knocking off Christians, beating up on Christians, putting them in jail, tearing churches down, and he thought he was doing it. And then he ran in and saw a man stoned to death, and he held that man's coat And Saul never got that out of his mind, even after he was born again, after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And oh, friends, look what happened to Saul, who now name is Paul. He literally turned the world upside down. He was a man that had found the answer. Hey, you know, someone said, I found the answer and didn't even know it, found it and didn't even know the question. Well, the gospel turns us from darkness to light. And I read in Acts, my stars in the morning. Would you believe that? I thought I had it written down here. Acts 26:28. Oh, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuading me to be a Christian. Well, and aren't you sorry, but you know what? We have never found any evidence in the Bible. Nowhere did we find that Agrippa ever came to the Lord. But he had an opportunity. The Holy Spirit of God was working on him, but his heart was hard. It's just like the Pharaoh down in Egypt. You remember what happened to him? He was such a stinker. And he would not. They did everything they could to get him to let those people go. But he kept lying and lying and lying. Sounds like Washington, but they did. Well, friends, listen. Those who come to Jesus no longer walk in darkness. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen, oh, I love this, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. What did I say? Those who come to Jesus no longer walk in darkness. We cannot escape the power of darkness in our own strength. But God will meet us in dark times and bring us to light. We ought to come to Jesus in spite of obstacles. And again, I tell you, friends, it's amazing. It's totally amazing what God can do if we'll let him. Oh, you know, I've had so, and I'm not being funny, I've had so many miracles I've seen the Lord do in my life. Not well because it was me, I don't mean that, but because I believed him, and because of these miracles I've been able to do things that I would have never been able to do if I was still in my sins. The first day, now that's the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Well, listen, friends, I don't know what obstacles are standing in your way to keep you from the Lord, but you better get over them. Mary envisioned having to overcome powerful obstacles to get to Jesus. You know, a person is hard to go to hell. You say, why? Well, you have to climb over millions of sermons, got to climb over churches, you got to climb over testimonies, you got to climb over every Bible to get to hell. The tomb had been closed by a large stone. That large stone didn't keep Jesus. Hey, those guards were there. But the angel of the Lord, they come and roll that rock away. Hey, if God wants to do something for you, there is nothing that's going to stop you. The tomb was sealed and guarded by representatives of that Roman Empire. Well, listen, friends, I know there's always obstacles in the way to Jesus. Pride, fear, selfishness, or favorite sins, or whatever. But I want to ask you, friends, what obstacles are keeping you from coming to him? Do you know what kept me from coming to Jesus? First of all, I didn't think God loved alcoholics. Secondly, I smoked and I knew in my heart, if I ever come to Jesus, I'm going to have to give up those terrible cigarettes. That is true. Those who come to Jesus find the obstacles are rolled away, which was that stone. The stone had been rolled away from the tomb by an angel. And Mary found the empty grave. Oh, friends, Christ was alive. Those who find Christ alive ought to spread the good news. Listen what it said in verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciples, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they had laid him. She was beside herself, because Jesus was gone. She was there with spices to anoint his body and all this for burial. But Jesus had told him in before that he was going to come out of the grave. He's only going to be in 3 days. Like the temple be torn down in 3 days, it should be brought back up. And they said, how can that happen? He was talking about his temple. Friends, he no longer is on earth. God's Holy Spirit is on earth. He right now is standing at the right hand of the Father. And he's standing with outstretched arms tonight saying, come unto me, all you have labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what the Lord said. Are you ready to come to him tonight? You say, Cecil, I've got so many things in my life that I can't understand. Listen, bring them to Jesus. Why? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He does. Well, you know, friends, I think tonight I'm going to have to close a little early. My throat is giving me all kinds of fits. Please pray that God will help me with my throat. Well, friends, listen. You say, Cease, I do want to know Jesus. And I have used every excuse in the world to stay away. But tonight I'm running out of excuses. And I am afraid that maybe this will be the last time I'll ever have to call upon him. And I want to pray that sinner's prayer, okay? If God's Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, I want you to bow your head to me right now. I don't want you to pray this, beloved, if you don't mean it. And here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the very precious name of Jesus, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my wayward life. And Father, the best way I know how tonight, I'm opening my heart and I'm inviting you in to be my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, won't you cut on the phone and call 303-471-8534. Oh, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. My main concern is where will you spend eternity. Now, today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Now, I urge you tonight to give him your heart. Well, friends, listen. If you can't afford this call, my call is 303-471-8534. If you can't afford that call, call me collect. I'll accept it. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please excuse me because of my throat was giving me so much trouble. I just want to get through to you that God loves you. Oh, friends, you don't know how much he loves you. He loved you enough to die for you. That's how much he loved you. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life eternal. Well, friends, Please pray for our service next month at the prison, that many, many souls will be saved. Oh, friends, listen, I tell you, those people troubled, they're troubled. They've been in trouble a lot of most of their lives. And they don't know there's hope, but we can tell them because we've been there. I've been lost. Now I'm saved. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.